9:31. Let's call the order. Ms. Packham, would you take roll?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Dr. Stenhouse?
Here.
Dr. Davis Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Davey? Ms. Denton? And Dr. Rates?
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right, thank you. And from my understanding, we have set a record with the number of applications we're reviewing this time. So for staff, good work. And we're running on a committee skeleton crew, so appreciate my fellow committee members for the extra work that they put in as well. And also thank you for the public being here. I know several of you are applicants and I appreciate the time that you're taking to come and join us. Let's move on to the next item is approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to accept those minutes?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion, but I also just wanted to add that I did give it a valiant effort to reduce the number of applications.
Thank you, Dr. Davis Wilson.
I motion that we move the approved to move. Motion that we approve the minutes.
All right. Do I have a second?
I will second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. I am going to let's move on to agenda item number five, consideration and recommendation of board pertaining to approval of behavior analyst applicants. I'm going to move forward with kind of a bulk request that applicants number three, Gabrielle Gibbs, applicant 13, Kendall Brundred, and applicant 16, Laura Murray, and I think finally applicant number 23, Sean McCormick. Due to the number of committee members we have available, and we have a recusal on those, that I would like to make a, or have somebody make a motion to move those to the board for review, since we will not be able to review those today, so they can continue moving forward.
Dr. Stenhouse, you can just go ahead and move them to the board. We don't even have a quorum to make that motion.
Oh, okay. Well, there we are. All right. So be it. We'll move those to the board. All right. I know a few of you on here listed. I appreciate you being here, but if your application is not going to be held up, we'll have the board review it. So good news. All right. Okay. All right. Let's move back up to the applicant one, Cinda Atwood. I'm the lead on that. I noted Ms. Atwood is present today too, so I'll review, and then Ms. Atwood, if you'd like to make a comment or if are able to answer questions, that'd be great. But I'll just do a quick review. So Ms. Atwood responded to a first additional information request of the following items. So changing, there was a request on the fair to change Capella University graduate coursework to start date from June 2016 to 2017. Evidence that her supervisor, Ms. Dubinsky, was licensed prior to February of 2020. An explanation regarding why Ms. Dubinsky may be exempt from licensure. And then verification of 1,500 hours of supervised work or hour experience meeting the board rules, R426-404.2, specifically section C or part C, part four. So just to go down through the list, the graduate coursework date in the follow-up was not changed. And then as far as Ms. Tobinski's licensure prior to February of 2020, that there was no evidence. However, she is in good standing with the Tennessee Behavior Analyst Board. there is the request for exemption regarding why Ms. Dubensky may have been exempt. There wasn't an exemption statement except that the board did approve her licensure in 2020. And then a verification of the 1500 hours. And in part, that was that hour requirement cannot be deciphered based on the evidence that we have. Of note, Ms. Atwood received 1100 hours from July of 2021 to April of 2022 from a licensed Arizona behavior analyst. With what we have and part of what we are required to do as a committee and more importantly, what the board rules state is we do have a requirement that licensure can only be accepted through supervised experience only if the supervisor was licensed by the state in which supervision occurred during the period of supervised experience. And that is Arizona law. And unfortunately, from my review anyway, I cannot know that Ms. Dubensky did in fact have that license at the time. And thus the requirement is not met for that piece of licensure, which you know, again, provides a deficit of about 400 hours on the application. And then Ms. Atwood, I noted you're here. So, you're allowed if you need to or want to make a 5 minutes statement. And then following that, my fellow committee members can provide more information or questions if they want. But do you have a response to that? Go ahead. Thank you.
Well, I submitted documentation proof that Tennessee did not enforce or require prior to September 2018 that they did only hold one person accountable for licensure, and instead of going back for the entire 4 years that person was licensed, was not licensed, they only held her accountable for 23 months, which meant they did not enforce or require licensure until after 2018. That would mean that whole first year should be eligible. Secondly, Kelly Tobinski's license is in good standing. They're aware that she was not licensed. They are fully aware. We've had multiple conversations, including a member of the Arizona people from your group also spoke with them. They also spoke, the representative of Arizona board and representative of Tennessee board spoke via email, which as CC'd when I talked to them, and the response was, well, they should have tried to be licensed by the end of 2018. That was the only thing that Tennessee was asking, was to be licensed by the time of 18 or 17. And that was CC'd, luckily, so that there is evidence that it wasn't just me saying that. So what I put forth is between, at this point, I've had another whole month of what, another 120 hours. So I'm at like 1220 now of working under an LBA in Arizona. What I want to put forth is with 1220 hours in Arizona, plus the fact that Tennessee did not hold anyone to obtaining licenses until that point, that my hours obtained in 2016 and 2017 account for that last 200 hours. So I don't have to come back to the board yet again and take another one of your spots yet again in a month. I sent in the documentations of those statements by Ms. Lisa Williams. She would not forthright state things because on the side on the phone, she said it could, you know, get her in trouble. But she did state, yeah, here's, you have evidence of letters where we didn't hold anybody accountable before that point of, I can't remember the lady's name, but I sent you the document.
Yeah, we have that, those correspondence in our notes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you. Committee members, any questions or discussion about this at this point?
Mr. Chair, I'm kind of in the same boat that you are, and I understand the confusion and the frustration that comes with this. However, when a statute is passed, sometimes the should have language is used, and when they say that, you know, well, I shouldn't even say the board representative used the word should have. The statute says you must be licensed. And so I think the challenge for me is that, you know, if we run into this with our own board staff of like, they don't have the authority to fully answer those questions. And so they try to provide information in the best way that they can. I don't know that we can use the circumstances of a complaint on another behavior analyst as justification for when they enforced a law. I don't think that would, because each case is their own and each circumstance is their own, and we weren't a part of those proceedings. So we don't know what led them to the decision of 23 months instead of 28 months. There could have been a lot of factors involved in that we just weren't a part of.
What is documented is that she said she just didn't know until that point.
Well, and that's fine that she didn't know, and I can appreciate that, but it still comes down to we can't take a decision by another board and use that as justification for why a statutory requirement was not followed. There could be a lot of circumstances as to why the board made the decisions that they did. It's not something that we would within our statutory requirements be able to then just adopt. And our statute is clear that if licensure was available and required, that had to have been done. And whether, like, it's really not even our authority to read into why Tennessee has not taken consideration into the information they had before them. Perhaps the board staff member isn't seeing it as an issue. I could see that, you know, happening in Arizona. I could see the complaint process is looking different. And so if the complaint, you know, if there's no mechanism to go into a complaint at that point, I think it really goes down to the evidence before us. Yeah, it doesn't show, like, if they are aware that she practiced without a license and chooses not to do anything about that, that's, you know, their prerogative as a board and as a state. I don't know that that allows for us to change our statute based on their interpretation. And that's where I'm kind of stuck is we have to follow our statute. And I think we were hoping for something clear, like something very like, hey, you know, here's the date, you know, for whatever reason, there's a lot of reasons why a date can be pushed back, whether it's, you know, a rule change or perhaps, you know, you think of New York, if you're providing in a preschool, you're exempt from New York licensure. So there's all these different reasons why under a statute, somebody could have been exempt. And I just don't think that's clear before us today. I think unfortunately, and again, I understand, and I appreciate you putting together this information because I know it's a lot of work. And I know you've been practicing, and I know that they issued you a license.
As a BCA under a licensed LBA.
Okay, but still, experience in the field, and I appreciate that.
I do practice as a BCBA in Kentucky, Tennessee, and California.
Yeah.
But yeah. Only as a BCABA in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I want to give credit to, again, even your practice in other states. Like I think that adds to, you know, the frustration that can happen in, you know, this process. And so I want you to know that, like, we hear you, we understand, and this isn't a matter of us being like, well, we're going to get her. This is just us looking at our statutes and making sure that we are, you know, following the statutes interpreted before us. So I do appreciate you putting together the information. Unfortunately, I think we just have to get the rest of those hours done by an LBA.
Yes. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Oh, stop that, Emma.
Okay. So I think at this time, I don't know, Ms. Galvin, if you could help with the language on that, but this time the, you know, our recommendation is denial until the hours are accumulated at the 1500 mark.
You may wish, and I don't know if we have the timelines, you could table this and allow her to submit additional hours if the timelines permit. Because this isn't an issue generally with, you know, qualifications that can't be cured, you may allow her to withdraw her application, but perhaps Heidi or Z can tell us if there's time to table it.
Yes, Mr. Chair, what I recommend is that in order to afford Ms. Atwood all the time that our rules allow, I recommend issuing a second fair letter. So that will push the timelines out for her to complete the deficit of hours. It would be, I think, helpful to quantify those hours. Obviously, they'll be quantified in the letter, but if you want to tell us what the deficit is so that, you know, Ms. Atwood understands what we're asking and then, or what we need from her, then staff will take care of notifying her of the time frames that she has to complete that deficit.
Well, as of the review, there was a deficit of 400 hours, but Ms. Atwood in her statement indicated that she had accumulated a few more hours. But I think with the letter going out, those will be reflected as she resubmits or provides information regarding those hours. So let's plan to send out a second request and extending the time or inadvertently extending the time so that she has time to work on those hours.
Okay? Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll make sure she is clear on, you know, what we need from her.
Okay, great. All right. Next application is Gabrielle Thomas. Dr. Rates, you were the lead on that. I also noted, I believe she is on, yes, she is on this call as well. So,
thank you. So this is a follow-up. We had sent a request for additional information in the original application. The supervisor who completed the supervision form had indicated a no on three of our questions related to type of work and oversight. So we reached out and asked for clarification on that. We did receive a letter indicating that this was an error. They do have a multiple supervision model at the agency. Multiple individuals provided supervision, and that those things were in fact a yes, and that they did happen. The individual signing the form was indicating that they personally didn't do that work, but realizes now that that is signing off that the other BCBAs who provided in that multiple supervisor format did do that work. A new form was submitted along with the form with the multiple supervisors and all of the dates listed. That equals 1,574 hours. The only issue that I did see on this was that for one of the supervisors, you will see line 5 on the multiple supervisor form. Caitlin, she completed her supervision training on 8/12 of 2021, but it appears that she started providing supervision on 8/16 of 2020. So So just about a year prior to completing the supervision training with the BACB requirements. Now that date that supervision was provided was over a year. If we look at total supervision, you'll see that if you were to take those 80 hours out, we are short just 5 hours, 5.75. So I think my recommendation would be if we can get some additional information related to the supervision provided by this individual, perhaps some of those hours occurred in the time frame after she received that supervision training completed, and that some of those hours would in fact count. Again, what I'm finding is just a deficit of 5.75 hours. So I know the applicant is here today. Perhaps you can speak to that, Ms. Thomas, a bit. If you have those trackers and can provide that, I think it would satisfy that requirement.
Let me see if I can pull up the tracker. I'm trying to understand exactly what you're saying.
So for Caitlin, it was noted by the BACB that she completed the training, her supervision training, which is required to be able to provide supervision to others. She completed that in August of 2021, but it appears she started providing supervision in August of 2020. So really what we would need to see is
when she was able to start providing me with supervision. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull up her contract. I have supervision contract.
So really, we would just be looking for 5.75 hours that she provided you after 8/12 of 21. And certainly not something you have to do right now on this call. I don't want to give you that kind of pressure, but that is what we would need to see. Okay. Additionally, in my opinion, but I will look at my committee members as well, you could also have an additional 5.75 hours from someone else on your list that maybe goes beyond, I think your last date was 9/21. So okay. If you have an additional 5.75 since then, that would be another option to consider.
Because she was new to the company, she was also being supervised by Laura Rajeski. So during those periods, Laura Rajeski was also present and providing supervision along with her because she was being trained by her. Would that also suffice for those additional 5 hours because they were both present?
If you have documentation that shows that Laura provided over the 58 you have listed here. So again, it would be during that time frame. If there is that additional above the 58 that Laura has already counted, then I would think that would be something that could be considered, yes. But again, I'll look to my other committee members. I am just one opinion here.
Okay.
Apart from that, for the my fellow committee members, apart from that, I think what was presented is, I would say, meets what we were looking for, and we would be able to move forward. It would just be those 5.75 hours we'd be needing clarification on.
Dr. Raitz, would you accept a letter from Laura R., the supervisor, just attesting to the presence of those meetings? And we're talking 5 hours. Do you think the documentation that would, like, just a letter from the supervisor explaining what the applicant is explaining?
Absolutely. I think that would be just fine. If she can attest to those additional 5.75, I would certainly be comfortable.
Yeah.
Ms. Thomas, any indication that there would be difficulty getting that letter from you?
No.
Okay, perfect. All right, great. Good. All right.
And my other question is just because, like, it is 5 hours. I don't know, Ms. Galvin, could this be one that if she's able to get it before the board meeting that we would move forward, or do we need to do another fair?
I would not have a problem with her submitting an additional 5 hours before the board meeting.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Chair, that's what I would be in support of it. If her supervisor can provide you know, letter attesting to those hours, and clarifying that ASAP, if we're able to get it before the board meeting next week, I would be in support of moving it to the board for full, or to the full board for approval.
All right. Dr. Race, anything else?
That would be it.
All right. Ms. Thomas, any further comments or?
No, I will just get that to you early next week.
Okay. All right.
Thank you for being here.
Yes.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank you for being here. I think it makes things move much faster when we can talk with you quickly and get involved.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. You too. All right. Next application is Kelly Teague. I am the reviewer for that. Ms. Teague received her BCBA certificate in August of 2021. She graduated in May of 2021 from Ball State University with a Master's of Arts in Applied Behavior Analysis. She received 1,711.36 hours of supervision under multiple supervisors in Indiana. I did not note any concerns with this application and recommend it before the board for approval. Okay, next application is Janie Pulzello. Dr. Davis Wilson, you are the lead on that.
Ms. Pulzello passed her exam in September of 2021. She completed a master's in AAVA from Ball State University in July of 2021. She did 1,500 hours between the periods of May of 2020 and May of 2021 through supervisors in, I believe it was New Jersey. New Jersey's licensure law did not take effect until July 1st, 2021. So I see no issues with the supervision. And in review of her application, I did not note any concerns and would recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you. All right, next application is Stephanie Buckler, who is on the call. Let's see here. Oh, excuse me. Dr. Rates, my color coding just failed me. I just noticed that you're the lead on that. I thought I was the lead on that. So there you go. Dr. Rates.
Thank you. Sure. So the individual comes to us today for licensure. They received their BCBA quite recently in March of 2022. They completed their master's at ASU in 2021 at the Mary Lou Fulton Futures College. Supervision occurred across two different agencies in Tucson for a total of 1,509 hours. Across multiple supervisors. I did not note any issues with this application and would recommend that it move forward to the full board for review.
All right. And Ms. Buckler, did you have any comments to make or? Good. Okay.
No, well, thank you.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. So let's see. Next application is Atsiri Nazario, excuse me. Dr. Davis Wilson, you're the lead on that. I do need to make a disclaimer that I was Nazario's instructor during her time in her master's program. So.
And I will make the same disclaimer. I did teach an ethics class for Ms. Nazario a few years back. I have not, aside from the ethics class, I've had no correspondence with her since that time, and I have no reason to believe that I can't proceed with the application. Ms. Nazario passed her exam in February of 2022. She did complete the ASU's master's program in the in-person program at ASU in May of 2021. She did 1,500 hours through licensed behavior analyst from period of October 2019 to October 2020. And I did not see any concerns with her application, and I would recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you. Next application is Caitlin Young. Dr. Rates, you're the lead on that.
Yes. Ms. Young comes to us for application. She completed her BCBA in 2014. She also completed a master's in science in 2013 in ABA at Nova Southeastern University. Supervision occurred between 2018 and 2021 at an agency in New Mexico for a total of 1,500 hours. The only thing I noted on the application was just that the supervisor indicated they were not licensed in the state. They did follow up clarifying that note. New Mexico does not have licensure. They were licensed in another state. So in review of the application, I don't have any concerns. It seems to meet the requirements. I would recommend it be moved forward.
Hi, Mr. Chair, if I may, I actually have a couple of concerns on this one. First one, number 19, she did answer an NA2, and that should be a yes, I believe. The other issue that I have, and I believe this is the first time it's come up. So Ms. Young, and I don't know if she's on the phone here, because it would be immensely helpful. So Ms. Young passed her exam in 2014. And so I'm not really sure why she would engage in a supervision program in the years that she has supplied the supervision program information. So I can think of one, I can think of a couple of reasons why one may engage in a supervision program. One is specific to, you know, potential performance issues. Another could be if you're changing populations, going maybe from autism to criminal justice or something. But I'm concerned as to why in 2018 she would engage in a contract with a supervisor and be supervised to the BACB standards. And I would be interested in knowing why that was necessary. And the alternative hypothesis that I would have is that maybe it wasn't necessary, but that she perhaps worked at an agency and that they didn't quite, that perhaps they filled out this form as a way of like expediting the process of getting on the supervisor. But I'm really struggling with why they would engage in, I'm really struggling with why they would engage in a full supervisory independent field work experience 4 years post certification. I would want more information on that.
As to why the additional.
Yeah. Like I said, I think if you were, because, you know, prior to 2014, supervision was just, you could have a verbal agreement with the supervisor and provide supervision. After 2014, you had to have a contract. You had to, you know, outline all these standards. You would have had to been supervised 5% with the two monthly contacts of, you know, all of the hours. Mm-hmm. I can't in my brain understand why a company would engage a 4-year BCBA in that kind of contract, unless, like I said, I could see if I wanted to go from the autism field to criminal justice or the autism field to, you know, OBM and not like dabble in OBM, but like, I'm going to go work for Kraft or Kellogg. Then I could see redoing an independent field work experience and documenting it. Because I would want to show that I'm fully, you know, within my scope of practice of a new population. I'm not sure why someone would re-engage in a contract supervision 4 years post certification.
I wonder if we can go to executive session.
For legal advice?
Yes.
Yes.
I would second that.
Discussion? All in favor? Did that backwards.
Aye.
Aye. Discussion. All right. Okay. Let's see. Any further discussion on this application?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I may. So I want to clarify where my concern is. On the supervisor form, it is asked if the supervision met the nature of the BACB requirements, which are pretty well outlined both in our rule and then as well in by the BACB. So my concern is that I don't know if it's a discrepancy in dates of supervision or what the remediation would be, but my concern is that it doesn't appear that the supervision form necessarily adequately captures what was happening during that post-certification supervision, as far as us being sure that we have the proper supervision form. So I don't know if my concern is a potential misunderstanding in filling out the supervision form, which could have led to kind of a mischaracterization of what was occurring during that period of time, or perhaps there's a different period of time that the supervisee would like to capture. So for me, I think the documentation, So I would recommend that we send it back as a request for additional information, and just request that the supervisor provide us or supervisee provide us with a copy of the contract or additional supervision to support what this form is saying, it could be the monthly verification forms, it could be the contract, a combination of both. But I think that we would need, I would feel more comfortable seeing that we have that additional documentation to support this particular form.
Okay. Any other comments about that?
And staff, Heidi, are you clear what it means? Okay, great.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay. Thank you, Dr. Reitz. All right, next application is Janet Carrillo. I was the lead on that. Ms. Carrillo received her BCBA certificate in November of 2017. She graduated in June of 2014 from the Sages Colleges with a Master's of Science in Applied Behavior Analysis and Autism. She received 1,560.75 hours of supervision under multiple supervisors in Colorado, and I did not note any concerns and would recommend that this move forward to the board for approval. Okay. All right, next application is Elizabeth Grizzard. She is on the call, and Dr. Reitz, you are the lead on that.
Thank you. The individual received their BCBA certification in March of 2022. They completed their Master's of Arts at ASU. And completed a total of 1,536 hours of supervision at two different locations across multiple supervisors. The only note that I had for this application is on question 19, the individual has NA selected. There does appear to be some additional correspondence. And what's noted is that they indicate they did not complete 270 classroom hours, and that they did not receive their BCBA, as I already noted, prior to 2015. So for the rest of the application, I don't see any concern, but this question of NA needs some further clarification. So I see they're on the line. Perhaps they can chime in.
Yeah. Hi there.
Hey.
So as far as my understanding was the 270 classroom hours meets, then it's with question 18. So because I was not getting certified prior to 2015, that was then not a requirement. That's why I had put NA, that it was not applicable since I was not certified at that time.
So I think there just may be a misunderstanding in the way that the question is written. So
okay.
If you were certified prior to January 1st, 2015, then for question 19, you would select NA, but you were not, correct? You were certified in
March 2022.
March of 2022.
Correct.
So then I think we just need to fix that error on the application. Otherwise, I didn't see any issues with anything else on the application and would recommend it move forward.
Any further comment? Okay.
Mr. Chair, my only comment, and it's just probably just feedback to the applicant. So for number 18, it does say, if yes, move to number 20, put NA. I agree number 19 would be revised and it should be a yes. But when you read the email correspondence to the board, the email correspondence says, no, I did not do 270 hours. And so I'm not sure where the confusion in that is, because based on the transcript, it was done. So I just want to make sure that that the applicant's aware that that the transcript does reflect the 270, and that the 270 is a BACB requirement. So they too would have verified the 270. So just a point of feedback in that, that yes, 270 classroom hours per the transcript were done, and therefore the email didn't really make sense, but I just wanted to provide that clarification.
Thank you for bringing that up. That does make sense when you say it. I am more of an auditory learner. I appreciate that. To clarify that, the 270 classroom hours, when I read that, I did interpret that more as like if you work in criminal justice, OBM within a clinic, I read that as in a school setting. And I have not been in a school setting. So that's also why I put no, that it was an additional. Like if you wanted to work with children on the spectrum within autism in a school setting, did you have these additional hours? Just because that has not been my focus throughout my journey. So that was my fault and my misunderstanding within that question.
Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions? Ms. Broussard, thank you for being here too. Appreciate the ability to answer and respond to those questions. It was helpful in you getting your application moving. So thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Mr. Chair, did we have a resolution? Are we sending it just for the clerical error or doing a fair? I don't know.
Can we do the clerical error? Dr. Davis-Wilson, do you foresee any issues with that email or that correspondence indicating to the contrary of the 270 hours?
I do not. I very okay. much read it as probably being just a misunderstanding because I double checked the okay. transcripts, but I just wanted to make sure that that we clarified for the record that we are just sending it back for just the clerical.
Yeah, let's just plan to do that if everybody's okay with that.
And then move it to the full board for approval, provided we can fix between now and next week. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Great. All right. Thanks. All right. Next application is Renee Jones. Dr. Davis-Wilson, you are the lead on that.
Yes. Ms. Joins passed her exam in March of 2022. She completed the ASU online master's in May of 2020. She did 1500 hours with a licensed behavior analyst. I reviewed her application and I didn't note any concerns. So I would recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
All right. Okay. Next application, Haley Clouts. Dr. Reitz, you're the lead on that.
Yes.
Haley received her BCBA in 2016 and then also indicated that she is licensed in the state of Utah. And she received a master's in education in 2016 at University of Utah. Supervision occurred at an organization in Utah between 2015 and 2016 for a total of 1,500 hours. In reviewing the application, I did not note any concerns.
All right. Thank you. Okay, next application. Dr. Rates, here's again, Chelsea Darby.
Sorry, I went on mute. I thought I had a moment there. So Chelsea received her BCBA in 2021. She is also licensed in the state of Utah. She also completed her master's in education at Utah State in 2020. Supervision occurred between 2019 and 21 in Murray, Utah for a total of 2,652 hours, if I did my math correctly. And again, I did not note any issues with this application.
Great. Let's see. Next application is Yenny Nonar. Dr. Davis-Wilson, do you believe on that?
Yep. Ms. Nonar passed her exam in November of 2021. She completed her master's from ASU in August of 2020. She did 1,500 hours. It was split just over 700 of it was done in Arizona, 800 of it done in California. For the work done in Arizona, it was done by licensed behavior analysts. In California, does not require licensure. I reviewed her application. I do not note any concerns with the application and recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you. Let's see. Next application is Dr. Pijota. I'm the lead on that one. Dr. Pijota received her BCBA certificate in November of 2021 and also holds a qualified behavior analyst certification. She graduated in September of 2021 from Capella University with a PhD in industrial organizational psychology. She received 2,200 hours of supervision under a supervisor in North Carolina, which did not require licensure during her supervision period. I did not note any concerns with application and recommend that it forward for approval. See, next application is Jacqueline Marr. Dr. Davis-Wilson, you're the lead on that.
Yes, Ms. Mahar passed her exam in February of 2017. She completed her master's in 2016 from Florida Institute of Technology. She did just over 1,500 hours between July 2015 to December 2016 in California, where licensure is not required. She is currently licensed in good standing in Utah. She is licensed as certified as a teacher in New Jersey. And it appears that too is in good standing. I know that board staff was asking for us to consider the information that we have before us. I'm noting that there is a letter from New Jersey confirming that the certification is in good standing. So I don't see any concerns with this application, and I would recommend that it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Thank you. Next application, Benjamin Brody. Dr. Rates, you're the lead on that.
Yes. So Mr. Brody received his BCBA in January of 2022, completed a master's in science in psychology at Capella University in 2021. Supervision occurred between June of 2020 to September of 2021 under Dylan Huff, who is a licensed behavior analyst in the state of Arizona. There were a total of 2,033.5 hours of supervision, and I did not note issue on this application.
Okay, thank you. Next application is Brianna Hohola. I am the lead on that one. Ms. Hohola received her BCBA certificate in February of 2019. She graduated in May of 2017 from NAU with a Master's of Education, Human Relations, and Positive Behavior Supports. She received 1,644.5 hours of supervision under two Arizona licensed behavior analysts. And I did not note any concerns with this application and recommend that it be forwarded to the board for approval. I also noted that the applicant is on the line. Ms. Hall, would you like to make any comments or this time?
Not really. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. It's all right. Thank you. Next application is Tatum Prenti. I'm also the lead on that. Ms. Prenti received her BCPA certificate in March of 2022. She graduated in May of 2017 from ASU with a Master's of Arts in Special Education and a concentration in Applied Behavior Analysis. She received 1,860 hours of supervision under three Arizona licensed behavior analysts, and I did not know any concerns with this application and recommend that it be forwarded to the board for approval. I also note that Ms. Prenti is on the call. Do you have any comments?
No, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. All right, next application is Megan Cross. Dr. Reitz, you're the lead on that one.
Yeah. Ms. Cross received her BCBA certification in July of 21. She completed a master's in science from U of A in May of 2020. She completed 1,536 hours of supervision across multiple supervisors in Arizona who met qualifications. The only thing of note for this application is that the applicant did respond yes to question 12. They did provide additional information to the committee. The incident is from over 16 months ago. It appears that there is not prior history of anything related to this incident or since. They also indicated that all conditions have been met. In review of this, I would suggest that the individual has shared that information willingly, indicated what they plan to do in the future, how they've resolved that, does not appear to have a history there. So I would recommend that this be moved forward.
Okay. All right. Next application is Janelle Chauvin. I am the lead on that one. Ms. Chauvin received her BCBA certificate in November of 2020. She graduated in April of 2016 from Kaplan University with a Master's of Science in Psychology and a concentration of Applied Behavior Analysis. She received 1,500 hours of supervision under a supervisor in Colorado, and I did not know any concerns with the application and recommend that it be forwarded to the board for approval. Let's see. Okay, next application is Liana Villacana. Dr. Davis Wilson, you are the lead on that.
Yes, pull back up my notes. All right, Ms. Villacana passed her exam December 2021. She completed her master's in July of 2021 from Florida Institute of Technology. She did answer yes to question number 12 regarding a theft charge that occurred in California in 2011. It did result in just community service. It was a petty theft under $30. She completed the community service and has no complaints or issues beyond that noted. She did 1,500 hours in Arizona from a licensed behavior analyst. There was 45 hours that were done from the practicum program spread across three behavior analysts who are not licensed in Arizona, but given the number of hours and the number of days falling under the 20 days in a calendar year, I don't see any problems with, like I said, the 45 hours. And so I've reviewed the application. I don't see any concerns. I would recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Great, thank you. All right, now we'll move on to licensure by universal recognition. The first application under that is, well, do we need to bulk the Section A for regular licensure before we move on to B?
Mr. Chair, if I may, we have an applicant that joined us and missed the conversation of the recusals.
Mr. McCormick? Ms. McCormick. There's been recusals and we are on a skeleton crew of committee members. And so your application will be moved onto the board for review by board members instead. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, Dr. Stenhoff, you do need a motion with respect to 5A, 1 through 25.
Okay, so could somebody summarize 5A so that we can put forth a motion, please?
I have notes.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin.
Okay, so number 3, 8, 13, 16, and 23 are recusals, and they will go before the full board. Number 1, number 8 need additional follow-up information. Number 10, Gressfield is going to fix a clerical error and then submit it to the board. And then the remaining individuals are sufficient and complete and good for recommendation to go to the board.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I have the same set of notes, but I think I heard Ms. Galvin indicate that 8 was a recusal, but then later she said 8 is a fair. So it's the second instance that is... Correct.
Okay.
You're right.
Thank you. Okay. Do I have a motion for
what I just said?
I will make the motion.
Thank you. I'll second it. Great. And do we have a any discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? All right. Motion carries. All right, let's move on to B now, universal recognition. Sarah Robison, Dr. Davis Wilson, do you have a lead on that?
Yes, Ms. Robison is applying for licensure by universal recognition. She has supplied us proof of licensure in Texas in good standing for a year. She has also provided us proof of residency. She does meet the requirements for licensure, and I would recommend she be forwarded to the full board for approval.
All right, thank you. And the last application is Ryan Babel. Dr. Babel is seeking licensure through universal recognition. He's been licensed in Texas since May of 2019, in good standing, and satisfied the substantive policy statement requiring an applicant to be licensed in another state for at least 12 months. He also provide evidence of residency with his apartment lease contract in Arizona. And I did note any concerns and recommend it for the board for approval. All right, now, do we have a motion for those two applications?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, a second?
Sorry, Dr. Eight.
It's okay, second.
All right. Okay, any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. There's an extra vote in there. Sorry.
Yes.
Opposed. All right. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Let's move on. Agenda item number 6, updates from the Behavior Analyst Certification Board. Ms. Packenham.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I left this on the agenda in the event that the BACB issued something of interest to us, and we've received no communication, so I have no update.
All right, great, thank you. Next item is discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding proposed legislation. Again, Ms. Packenham.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this may be the last update on legislation for this year, because for all intents and purposes, the session is pretty much over, at least where consideration of pre-filed bills is concerned. The legislature has yet to adopt a fiscal year 2023 budget, so there's hope that after a failed attempt from last week to move some budget bills forward, that the legislature is hard at work coming up with some sort of an agreement to continue funding state operations past June 30th. In terms of the bills, there was really no progress since your last meeting, with the exception of, I guess, lack of progress. Senate Bill 1568, we've mentioned it in the context of it makes imposes several requirements on regulatory boards, many of which, most of which we already are doing. But the one piece that's been of concern is the requirement that cases be adjudicated within 180 days. I've been watching this bill very closely, and since mid-March, I want to say March 18th, it hasn't moved. So in order to move forward, it would need to be scheduled by for a review by the House Rules Committee. And the Rules Committee appears to be done. So unless it's some sort of a zombie kind of bill, which those can and do happen, it may be that this bill simply won't move forward. And so it's the kind of bill that I would expect to see reintroduced next year, maybe with some modifications to it. So it's not completely over, but I don't, with every day that passes, I'm less worried about this new requirement. The requirement to adjudicate cases within 180 days would be very challenging for many of our cases. So that's the only report that I have.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. Discussion regarding application to the BACB ACE program. Ms. Packer.
Yes, Mr. Chair, again, my optimism, I had hoped that we would have some sort of an update from the BACB on the outcome of our application review, but I don't have an update. Anticipating that we will receive one in the coming weeks, my intention is to issue to the licensed behavior analysts that this is a new opportunity for them to earn credit for purposes of maintaining their certification, but in the process be clear that this is not qualifying for purposes of completing their continuing education requirements for their Arizona license. So I hope that, you know, we'll be able to broadcast this information, maybe partner with AZABA in the process, so we see more LBAs attending your meetings.
That would be nice. Okay, next agenda item, new agenda items for upcoming meetings for the next meeting.
I have nothing, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's
move on. Mr. Chair, I do want to maybe remind this group that Ms. Galvin and I, we do have an assignment, which is that we need to go through our application and compare it to what our administrative rules specify that we can ask in the application. So I'll schedule that review very soon so that we can bring it on one of your next agendas.
All right, great. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Nothing else for future items. So let's move on to the last adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
All right. Discussion? All right. All in favor of adjourning, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Mr. Chair.